I am going to take this time to convince you to do something. You're going to resist it at first. In fact, you might just turn this episode off as soon as I tell you what it is. You will chuckle to yourself and say, oh, heck no, I'm not doing that. How do I know? Because I've been doing it for 20 years and everyone makes fun of me. And I know very few players that do this, but ones that do it, oh man, there's something so special about them. Not only that, they actually improve. Did you hear what I said? They actually improve. All right, raise your hand if you've been playing golf for 10 plus years and see very little improvement in your game. You figure out something and something else goes to crap and it's always a teeter-tottering act, like a friggin' seesaw. Up and down, it goes nowhere. I want to convince you that doing this thing that I'm going to mention, will take you in a whole new direction in your game. A clear, concise, and proven method that will help you set goals and achieve them. Are you ready to hear what I want you to start doing? Okay, here it is. I want to convince you to start logging your golf data from now on. Hello? Hello? Are you there? Log your golf data from now on. I'm not only going to teach you how to do it, but more importantly, why you should do it. And of course, I will teach you what to analyze and how to set goals to chip away at it, to make small gains, to eventually transform your game. I have data to prove that keeping data works to improve your game. Did you get that? I have data to prove your data. Oh man, I'm hilarious. Hey, this is Hanju Lee, and you're listening to Better Golf Academy. I'm here to share the best secrets of improving your score without mechanical swing tips. It's all about strategy and your mental game. So are you ready? All right, let's go. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Better Golf Academy podcast. I am your host, Hanju Lee. Thank you so much for listening. As I mentioned last week, I was going to play a tournament on Saturday, and I was going to implement what I've learned from my previous episode talking about the conscious versus unconscious. You guys remember that from last week? And to see how I do it. So let me tell you something. By saying that out loud on the podcast, I added another level of pressure. And I'm not going to lie, it stressed me out a bit. Because I have to go back out and tell them what I did. But I am happy to report I played well. I didn't win, but I shot 2 over, 74. And my course handicap was 2, which means I shot 72 net, which wasn't good enough to win. I ended up getting 3rd place. Congratulations to Michael Hussey and Timmy Song, who shot 69 net. And Michael won the cutoff playoff, and Timmy got 2nd. But for me, I really focused on not focusing, truly allowing my subconscious to take over my swing and not allowing myself to trust it. And I had to be very intentional on every swing. And my pre-shot routine, I really had to like let go once I addressed the ball and just blank out my mind and any swing thoughts and just trust that my subconscious is going to take over. And it was really helpful. And you know what? Really, it worked because it was one of my best rounds out there. So if you get a chance, check out episode 17, Mastering Your Subconscious Mind. Okay, let's get back to logging your data. All right, let's talk about it. For most of you that follow the PGA Tour, I know you heard the name Matt Fitzpatrick. What has he done? Oh, I don't know. Won the US Amateur at 19 years old. Oh, I don't know, made the Ryder Cup team at age 22. maybe, you know, I don't know, won a major championship. Have you heard of the U.S. Open? Yeah, he won the U.S. Open in 2022. What's fascinating about his story is that he wasn't born with this crazy talent for greatness. In fact, quite the opposite. He struggled with a lot of things, including his length off the tee. But what set him apart was best described by his buddy and sports writer, Dan Rappaport. I don't know if you guys follow him or not, but you should. And he says this after Matt's U.S. Open win. This is Dan talking. He says this: "You'll see Matt Fitzpatrick writing notes after every single shot. That's because he has charted every single golf shot since he was 15 years old. For example, say he's 165 yards out and hitting an 8-iron, but he wants to land it 161 yards, 8 yards left of the flag. If he hits it 165 and lands it in the hole, he'll chart it as a 4-yard miss on a distance and 8-yard online. This gives him way more accurate data than shot length because he's measuring versus his target, not where the hole is. So he has now has a database of thousands and thousands of shots. And he'll also note what the lie was, what the grass was like, where the wind was blowing for every single shot, every practice round, pro-ams, casual rounds with friends, everything. He knows he doesn't have the physical gift of the guys that he plays against. So he leaves zero stone unturned in pursuit of a slight advantage. And then he'll search for another stone. He's so disciplined, takes his career so seriously." So Dan posted all that. It's kind of chopped up on the Twitter or X, but I copy pasted and I'm reading it out loud right now. But if you, after he posted all that, there's a really funny comment right below his post, and it's this random guy named Drew, and he replies on there. He says, "So does that really help?" Well, yes, it does, Drew. That's the whole point, Drew. He freaking just won the U.S. Open. Now, I'm not saying you need to log what Matt Fitzpatrick is logging in that finite detail, but what I'm saying is that there's some truth to this madness, and I'm going to break it down for you. I want you to stay with me until the end of the episode. Then you can decide if this logging your data thing is for you or not, because I know some of you may already made up your mind, and you're saying to yourself, "Oh, dude, I'm not that data guy. Dude, that logging that data is so distracting. Dude, I'm like a feel player, and that's way too much work." Okay, those are all valid, but you need to hear me out. So are you a dreamer? Not like, "Yes, I dreamt about cats attacking me and chewing off my ear last night. What do you think that means?" Or like, "Yeah, I daydream every day about sitting on the beach in Caribbean drinking margaritas." No, I mean like dream. Like according to Dr. Bob Rotella, like a dream that is of passion and tenacity. Something that you want so badly that you're willing to sacrifice something else for it. In fact, this is the very first mental principle a golfer must learn. He says this: "A person with great dreams can achieve great things. A person without the confidence to pursue his or her dreams has consigned himself or herself to a life of frustration and mediocrity." And those two words pierced my soul when it comes to golf, right? Frustration, yes. Mediocrity, yes. I don't want those. So Dr. Bob Rotella, in his book, Golf is Not a Game of Perfect, starts on chapter one by telling a story about Pat Bradley. And if you don't know who she is, just look her up. She was on the LPGA Tour. I used to watch her play all the time. And he said she sat on his couch because Dr. Bob Rotella is a sports psychologist. So So he has a couch. And she said, hey, Bob, I am past 30. I want to win more. I want to win majors. I want to be player of the year. And I want to be in the LPGA Hall of Fame. And he said she was so intense and so excited that just talking with her exhilarated him. And he knew she was on the quest. So to make a long story short, with this dream, she started winning. And eventually in 1991, with her fourth victory that year, she qualified for the LPGA Hall of Fame and was inducted. The ceremony was at Ritz-Carlton in Boston. And after the ceremony, she approached him and said, hey, we need to talk. And he's like, what do we need to talk about? And she said, where do we go from here, Bob? We got to find a new dream. What's next? And this story ends with Dr. Rotella saying, and she hasn't won since 1991. And I know that when she seizes on a new dream, she will win again. Her dreams propel her. Oh, it's kind of a sad ending to that story. But yes, we should all dream. And yes, I think we should all dream big. And yes, I believe that this whole thing starts with a dream. And I believe that in order to achieve greatness or to reach your full potential, you have to start with a dream. But here's a problem with the dream. It represents what we hope to achieve, but it's broad and it often lacks a clear plan. But goals are specific. Goals are measurable and goals are actionable. They turn dreams into reality by breaking them into achievable steps. So did you guys hear that? Dreams propel us, but we need a clear plan. And the plan requires us to set goals. And goals are specific and they're measurable and actionable. The key word there? It's measurable. We need to measure. Can I share a boring engineering story? I was a national service manager in my past career at a very large manufacturing company. I moved up from a design engineer to industrial engineer and finally to a management position where I took over a technical service department. And one of the things that I was overseeing was all the warranty issues. Okay, that wasn't a fun job, by the way. And I was at this company right out of college for 14 years. So I knew these products inside and out, especially from the engineering perspective. Now, from the warranty perspective, every freaking thing that gets done on our equipment gets logged. It gets measured. Every component that gets replaced or breaks down gets logged. Every labor activity has a 3-digit code that gets logged. And all that to say, data, anyone? So we had data. So now what? So with that data, we created a committee. And it was me, a production manager who was in charge of the assembly line, a buyer who was in charge of all the vendors, and an engineering manager who was in charge of the product design. And once a week, we would gather and review my weekly warranty reports, and I would break it down by product, by component, by labor code to figure out what the heck went wrong with this unit. And this is where we can decide if we need to recall a product or recall a component due to high percentage issues because it's costing our company a lot of money. But most of the time, we would brainstorm how we need to make the product better, so that our company will spend less money on warranty issues and we create an industry brand name that says we're reliable and that we can be trusted. But that's not all. We set goals for each product. We set goals on the number of warranty claims this quarter versus last. We set goals on the number of component failures this quarter versus the last. We set goals on the service calls this quarter versus the last. These beautifully designed charts and graphs that I designed, by the way, were all over the offices and on my bulletin board, and they were refreshed, revisited, and reanalyzed week after week. And we had a very specific goal. We measured them and we took continuous action in fixing them. In fact, we had this geeky saying to ourselves all the time, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it. And some of us took it to another geek level and we said this to ourselves, if you can't measure it, bro, does it even exist? So let me summarize what I said so far. Why should you log your golf data? Because it all starts with a dream. But the problem is that our dreams are awesome and we can visualize it, but it's too broad and it lacks a clear plan. Dreams like, I want to be a scratch golfer, or I want to win the club championship at my club this year, or I want to make it on the high school golf team, or I want to get a golf scholarship to my favorite college, or I want to finally break 80, or I want to play on the PGA Tour and win the Masters, or I want to be inducted in the LPGA Hall of Fame. Can you see it? Yes, it's easy to visualize you hoisting the trophy and making millions and millions of dollars, but the dream is too broad and it lacks a clear plan. So we have to break down our dreams into goals. But in order to reach our goals, it has to be three things. It has to be very specific. It has to be measurable. And it has to be actionable. And one of the ways to measure our data is to start logging our data. We need to start our database of our shots. That is our first step. Are you convinced yet? No? Okay, hear this. Did you know that most golfers think that they know their weaknesses? But they don't. If you ask why they shot such a horrible score today, they'll tell you in general what happened. Well, I had two blow-up holes today. I had a triple on the par five and a double on the par three with that water in the front. Most likely, their conclusion is that golf is hard and sometimes you make good swings, but sometimes you just make bad swings and bad mistakes, and those mistakes are costly. It is what it is. So they go home, they lay on the couch, they feel bad about their horrible day, and next thing you know, they're back on the course again, hoping they won't make the same tragic mistakes and hope to score a bit better, and they don't. And multiply this scenario times 10 years. And they haven't learned or gained a thing. Now, imagine a player who continues to log and analyze their game. They diligently take the time to mark each shot, and after a few rounds, they start seeing a pattern. Then they make a strategic plan to work on that very thing that's causing that negative pattern. And not only that, they set a goal to eliminate it. They work on it day and night, improve it bit by bit, keep tracking it, keep working on it, keep tracking it, keep working on it until they've eliminated the pattern. Okay, now, then they move on to the next pattern. So you see, this is how you improve. Can this be done without actually logging, setting goals, and working on them? I wouldn't know. I'm just never randomly, without a plan, just improved. And if I did, I certainly don't know about it and everything I've done to improve my game was pretty intentional. So now if you're a little bit warming up to the idea, you're probably asking, well, what should I log? What should I keep track of? Let me know what you kept track of that has helped you over the years. And I would say just typical things, right? Fairways, percentage greens, regulation, putting distance, number of putts, approach shot distance, what club you hit and those distances, percentage saves out of the bunker, how many penalties have you got, those typical things that you would log. But I developed a quick method to mark these after each hole on the golf journal that fits in my back pocket. And I created a database to log it in after the round when I get home. And I'm a bit of an old school, so I like those log database printed. And I keep it in my binder that gives me a visual goal to track and analyze easily, like in my engineering days, right? Plastered all over the bulletin board. And if you are interested in what I use, how I log and what the printout looks like, go to bettergolfacademy.com/log, L-O-G. And I will release all that information to you. And honestly, I think you're going to love it. Okay. Then now that I'm logging and analyzing my data, what goals do I need to set for myself to make the biggest impact on improving my score? Okay, what a great question. Let's go to one of the most authoritative voices in this matter. How about Hank Haney and Tiger Woods duo? As you know, Hank Haney was Tiger Woods' former coach, and they have both emphasized the importance of setting goals to drive improvement in golf. And Tiger Woods has consistently demonstrated a commitment to continuous improvement. Even at his peak of his career, he famously overhauled his entire swing multiple times, showing his belief in embracing change to achieve long-term success. So what are these goals? He employed a 5-part system to track and lower his scores, which included, okay, number one, no double bogeys. You have to avoid double bogeys to minimize score damage. Number two, no three putts. You must eliminate three putts to improve putting efficiency. Number three, no blowups. You must maintain composure to prevent high scoring holes. Number four, no bogeys on par fives. You must capitalize on par five opportunities. And number five, no bogeys with 9 iron or less approach shots, ensuring precision with short irons. This structured approach allowed him to set clear, actionable goals for each round. And you know what Hank Haney believes and still does to this very day? He emphasizes the necessity of proper diagnosis to create an effective improvement plan. He advises golfers to like thoroughly assess their game, identify specific weaknesses, and then develop a structured plan to address these areas. And Haney believes that without this diagnostic approach, it is impossible to make meaningful progress. I mean, think about it. If you dive deeper into what these top athletes are doing, it's really all about data. And right now, all I'm telling you about is just simple data, right? Wait until we dive deeper into launch monitors and what these golfers are using to track and improve their game. It can be endless. Like, look at the ball flight data. They're tracking their carry distance, total distance, like ball speed, launch angle, spin rate, spin axis, like peak height, like landing angle, like side carry. I mean, looking at their clubs, like, have you ever got a club fitted? Like club speed, the smash factor, the club path, the face angle. Like, come on. The lie angle impact. Even putters, you can get fitted for putting. Launch direction, your skid versus roll ratio, like face angle impact. Like, should I keep going? I mean, here's the thing. If you're not tracking your game, you're guessing. And in golf, guessing doesn't lead to improvement. It leads to frustration. It leads to plateauing. And it leads to wasted practices. The best players don't just hope to get better. They track everything. They know how many fairways they hit. They know how many putts they take. They know where their misses go. And they know how often they get up and down. They collect their data. They analyze it and they make adjustments. That's why they improve. If you truly want to shoot lower scores, stop relying on feel alone and start logging your stats. This is the difference between playing golf and improving at golf. If you don't measure it, bro, it doesn't exist. And if it doesn't exist, how can you fix it? So here's your challenge. For the next 5 rounds, track your stats. Be brutally honest. Once you see the pattern, you will know exactly what to work on. No more wasted range sessions. No more mindless grinding. Just real improvement. Measure, adjust, improve. That's how you get better. Whew. Man, that was good. I hope it was good for you too, and that you've gain something from this episode? Have I changed your mind yet? If you did, and if you got anything out of this, do me a big favor. Could you please share this with a friend that needs to hear this? And also, do me a huge favor. Leave me a review. I would love for you to subscribe. And if you want to chat with me directly, go to bettergolfacademy.com/hello and leave me a note. I promise to get back to you. So let's keep building this Better Golf Academy community together. But in the meantime, thank you so much for listening to Better Golf Academy podcast. I really appreciate you being here. Be awesome and bye for now.